Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a Dreamcatcher interview podcast special. According to recent studies, the loneliest generation in the U.S. today is not the oldest Americans, but the youngest, specifically young adults between 18 and 22 years old. The reality of the world we now live in has contributed to a crippling sense of anxiety and alienation in students across the country. But the question is, what can we do to put a stop to it for the generations to come? To speak more about this issue, I invited Florence Ann Romano on the show. Florence, also known as the Windy City Nanny, is a dedicated philanthropist and former nanny who has always had a special place in her heart for children. Romano worked for over 15 years as a nanny. She shares her experiences in Nanny and Me, her debut book for children. Florence served as president and founder of a nonprofit board dedicated to autism awareness and now serves on the executive board of the Children's Research Fund and Lurie's Children's Hospital. During our conversation, Florence and I speak about how today's youth can find a sense of community in their social life, as well as a sense of purpose and meaning in a competitive job market. She also shares some tips for parents who want to raise more conscious and connected children. Hi, Florence. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm so excited to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Great. Yeah, my listeners and I are eager to hear your thoughts and perspective on a very important issue right now in our society, and that's helping today's youth find connection and meaning in their life. So thank you for making the time to speak with me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm absolutely delighted.
Okay, great. So let's get started by learning a little bit about you and your background. Your nickname is the Windy City Nanny, which is quite interesting to me. So I want to start off by asking you, what is the story behind that name?
So I hail from Chicago, and I was a nanny for 15 years. And, you know, I'm very proud of where I came from. And we thought, you know, I think that might be the right moniker, the Windy City Nanny. So after 15 years being a nanny and then writing a children's book and wanting to stay connected to children and families, even after retiring as a nanny, it just seemed like the perfect fit to kind of just coin myself as the Windy City Nanny. And I can't even take full credit for it. It was a big team of people that were deciding on what the best description would be. And that's what we decided.
You know, when I read that nickname, I instantly thought of Mary Poppins for some reason.
Oh, that makes me happy because, you know, that's a good visual to have. And I think the umbrella and all of that and wind, I think I completely understand that whimsical nature, I think, is exactly what I was going for. So thank you for saying that.
Right, right. And what inspired you to, you know, to do the work that you do? I mean, first of all, you were a nanny, you said, for 20 years, and then now you're doing some other things that we'll talk about later. But yeah, what inspired you to follow this path?
Yeah, you know, I was one of those little girls that always loved babies. I used to say to my mom, can you take me to the toy store so I can have my baby, mom? And what I meant was, you know, that I wanted to go and pick out a baby doll. And then I'd come home and I would write birth certificates for all of my baby dolls. I mean, like a crazy person. I mean, like, what was I thinking? But I always loved children. And so just like, you know, any young girl, I started out as a mother's helper and became a babysitter. And it really just was the catalyst to me becoming a nanny. I've always had a special place in my heart for children. And it was some of the best years of my life, truthfully. And I will always miss it, you know, being a nanny in my day-to-day life. But now I stay connected to children and families in a different way that is also very fulfilling and something I always wanted to do, truthfully, in my later part of my life.
Right, right. So it seems like you've got that very maternal and nurturing aspect to you that you really like to express through your work today, right?
The maternal aspect, I feel, you know, either, you know, people say you're either born with it or you're not, you know, you either like children or you don't. And I would say that, you know, I just kind of was following what my North Star was, and it always was children. And so, yes, I guess people could say that maybe I have a maternal nature to me, but it really was more so, I think, the fact that I connected to children on a level that was just familiar, and I just loved learning through children's eyes. So, you know, I think, you know, I hope at least that they felt that I took care of them in a very maternal way. But for me, it was really more so about these children and what they taught me and how I saw the world through their eyes.
Right, right. So it seems like, you know, all this experience has helped you pick up on certain trends in society amongst our youth. I know you've written a book recently about, you know, today's youth and how they are feeling the sense of loneliness, stress, and anxiety. And it's becoming an epidemic right now. What do you think has led to this trend?
The loneliness, I feel, really comes from social media. Social media has a place. I will never, ever condemn technology. I think it's fantastic. It keeps us moving forward. But I also think that social media can be a very lonely place. It can be a very narcissistic place. It can be a place where bullying happens. So when you put all of these factors together, you start to maybe connect the puzzle pieces and say, you know what? Maybe this isn't the most positive influence for children. And for example, when you look at young girls today, you know, it was hard being a young girl, even in my day, I would say, you know, just comparing yourself to kids in your class or people in magazines or what you'd see on TV. But now content and everything that's being thrown at you and reality TV, all of these different influences that are out there that are affecting how we feel self-esteem wise, you know, we're even being affected as adults. Imagine being a young, impressionable child and how that must feel and the amount of likes that you get equaling the amount of self-esteem or your amount of value. I mean, all of these factors lead to why you're starting to see more and more statistics about loneliness in children. And we need to take it seriously because technology isn't going anywhere. Social media is only going to become more powerful. So how do we censor it? How do we help our children have healthy self-esteem levels without looking to social media to be a way to validate that?
Yeah. So do you think social media has just kind of magnified this problem that we already had, you know, when it comes to the media and body image and all those things?
I do. I think that there are very positive things as well about social media. But at the same time, you have to remember that there are so many different influences. How can parents censor all of that, truthfully? Is there a way for them to censor it? There are so many questions you have to ask yourself as a parent. And those are a few of them about making sure you're monitoring what your children are ingesting.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's really key. And also, I think, you know, kind of having that talk with them. Don't you think that every parent should have that talk about social media and, you know, kind of be at this grounding effect, had this grounding effect in their life?
The conversation, yes, I agree that, you know, talking about the pros and cons of social media and what is appropriate to be posting on social media and the dangers also out there for children. Yes, this needs to be part of the conversation as parents, as caretakers, as nannies. You know, it is your job if you are raising children in any capacity to provide them with the tools in order to grow into confident, independent men and women, but also protect them too, but not shield them, not, you know, hover around them where they're not able to grow and not able to explore and not able to find out who they are. But you need to also be transparent about the dangers that are out there and what they need to be cognizant of. If we shield our children too much, then they're not prepared for the real world and they will become victim to things on the web that they shouldn't. So making sure you as the parent, you the parent are educated, you the nanny are educated in order to have those conversations with the children is paramount.
Right, right. I totally agree with you. And in addition to social media and all its complexity, you know, the younger people today are also facing escalating pressure to perform in a competitive job market and even in school. Like, how is it possible for them to find meaning and purpose in their career when they're under so much stress and pressure?
It's to find meaning and purpose in your life. I'd say you have to start understanding the F word, and I'm not going to use the word you think. The word failure is a very important word in our society today, but it is condemned in some respects. No one wants to talk about failure. No one wants to talk about the fact that you have to fall down and pick yourself up and, you know, go through experiences, go through obstacles and challenges. And I'd say if we're going to raise confident children who are going to be great members of society and are going to contribute in amazing ways, we need to allow them to fall down. We need to allow them to experience failure so that they learn and continue to persevere. If we shield our children too much from that, then we're not doing them any favors. And if we also constantly are praising them from every little single thing they do, that everything is wonderful and amazing, oh my gosh, everyone's been as brilliant as you are, we're also not doing our kids any favors either. You know, the world is not fair. Kids have to learn that, you know, you're not going to be the best. You know, there always is going to be someone better than you out there, but you need the best version of who you are. And that's your job, is to help them find out who they are, what their strengths are, what their dreams are, how they can accomplish those things. So, you know, there's room for everybody in the world. Of course, there's room for everybody to be successful. But it's about developing that sense of self, knowing who they are, and you helping them discover that.
Yeah, I love that. So instead of coddling them, kind of give them that constructive advice, that structure that they need to find their way through the world.
That's exactly it. Exactly. You have to help guide them. And, you know, that doesn't mean that you aren't actively involved. That doesn't mean that you're not giving them your opinions or helping connect them or, you know, whatever it is, that you can do all of those things. But you have to give them the chance to discover who they are and then give them the tools in order for them to be successful. So give them some room to fly, but also guide them. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right, right. And something else that you speak about, which I think is really, which is really significant, you know, it's about finding a tribe and community. And it seems to be a very hard thing for people these days. What do you think? What do you think about that? Why is it difficult for people to find people who they can really connect with and who can be a source of support for them? Why do you think that's the case?
Well, over 64% of families in America today have a nanny or a caretaker. Over 64%. I mean, that's a pretty outstanding number. And so when you're seeing the families in America and what is demanded of them, we're seeing the common denominator being childcare. We have parents that are both working in the home or they're single parents, whatever the situation might be in the home, the common denominator is that someone has to help them raise their children, be there for their children. So when you're building this tribe, you're building this village, you're looking, you know, at what they would consider like the low-hanging fruit, like right around you. It's a very corporate term, but like, who are the people that are around you family-wise or friend-wise that you can lean on, that you can count on, that can be a part of your tribe? Now, some people do not have that. They don't have close family in proximity to them, or they don't have time to cultivate these relationships. So how do you find this village? There has to be someone somewhere, a group somewhere that you're able to reach out to, but you have to do the work. You have to look to your community. You have to work on these relationships. Look at the school where your kids go, or the church that maybe you guys attend, or whatever is happening in your community. Start to reach out and make those relationships, because it doesn't happen overnight. It's not just built in to all families that have a really robust family dynamic in terms of cousins and aunts and all these different people that step in. It's hard for the people that don't have that to build it. So my suggestion to those people, again, is to look outside of their family and see where they can place some energy, whether it's joining a book club or joining something in their community or their church, or, you know, a philanthropic opportunity, something like that, to start building those relationships. And it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be reciprocal. You might be the person that needs the most help for a while, but if you have the right people in your tribe, they're not going to be keeping score. So it's about finding an extension of you, the values of your family, to help you build that village. And sometimes it takes time, but you also have to put in the work.
Yeah, and I also think that somehow people get satisfied with the superficial ties that they have on social media and say, like, oh, look at me, I have so many followers, I'm popular. Or, you know, like they don't realize that they really need those deeper friendships, because that's what really nurtures you.
It is what sustains you. Absolutely. And on Facebook and on Instagram and all these people, you're right, you can have all these followers, but who's the person that's going to be there when you haven't slept in a week and you need someone to come help you at night with the baby, just to give you a little reprieve? You know, where are those people? That's who you're looking for. You're not looking for a community of people to like your photos. You're looking for people to actually be there when you need them, when the cards are down, when you are at your lowest, you know, that they will be there to pick you up and support you and can say, it's going to get better. It's going to be okay. You're not alone. That's what you need to look for. And you're right. The flip side of that is the superficial relationship. And maybe you do find some people through Facebook and groups like that that are going to be a part of your tribe and that are not going to be superficial. They're going to be real live human people helping you. But the only way to know if that's going to happen is by putting in the effort to get to know these people. But it's, you know, quality versus quantity. That's something to remember.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. All right, Florence, it's been a real pleasure to speak with you today. I'm sure that a lot of parents and even some younger people out there who are listening to this will appreciate the ideas that you shared with us today.
It's been wonderful being with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Before you go, could you please let us know how we can learn more about you and the work that you do?
Sure. You can go to WindyCityNanny.com. I've got lots of information there for you. You can also purchase my book, Nanny and Me. And I also have a web series on YouTube that debuts August 21st. And it follows the lives of a bunch of different families across Chicago and their journey with childcare and how they're building their village and asking for help.
Wonderful. Okay, thanks so much, Florence. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.